Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Oh, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. Maybe you're listening to it on iTunes, maybe on Stitcher, maybe on Audio Boom, and also, Bob, we're on Spotify. Like, it's funny, I signed up for all these ones, but I never got a note from Spotify saying you're on it until one of the listeners said, hey, do you realize you're on Spotify? I'm like, yes, I always knew that I was on Spotify. So there you have it.
Spotify is like the cold and indifferent universe that we live in. We exist. Yeah. We exist within Spotify.
Yeah. It's like we didn't exist and then we existed.
As opposed to Audio Boom.
Yeah.
Audio Boom lets us know we're there. Audio Boom is like
right
an
there,
over
from day one.
A helicopter platform. Like they're just all over
us. Yeah, exactly. So that's exciting.
I want to talk to you before we get into sports about I have a dilemma.
Okay.
And perhaps you can help me solve it.
Sure.
It may not be solvable.
Yeah.
It's the dilemma of the umbrella.
Ooh, okay. Now we're into something good here. Okay,
right.
Yeah.
So it's raining this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm on my way over to your place.
Yeah.
Even considered moving the pod recording to another day because I like to cycle over here.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to come down in sheets the second you get on your bike.
Yeah.
So Sandra actually gave me a lift, but I have my umbrella because I got to get around today.
Yeah.
And I have a bad umbrella.
Oh, that's...
Here is my conundrum.
Yep.
How much are you supposed to pay for an umbrella?
Okay, see, that part I can't help. I've never purchased an umbrella. It seems in this condo, every now and then, we're just rife with umbrellas. I don't know where they come from.
They just show up?
They just show up. And then the next time, I'm like, where are the umbrellas? And they're all gone.
Do you mean like they show up in your place or they show up at the door of the condo?
No. Like here. Like we're lousy with them. And then the next one, you know, they're done. But the thing about the umbrellas can be your best friend and your worst enemy because you get the cheap ones and they... You know, they suck in the other way. They pop open. And by the way, that's a lot of metal spikes coming at you. And at that point, then you're holding it over you. And it's not only is it not keeping you dry, but it's actually trying to cut you, you know. And yeah, the umbrella, you got to get a good one.
But
a good one or none.
But you always lose the umbrella.
Yep.
Why do you think your place suddenly has umbrellas in it? Because people forget them.
They do.
Are they the most losable thing we have? That's kind of a common everyday object.
Yes.
Keys are very losable, but you tend to find them.
Yeah.
See, sunglasses.
Sunglasses are bad. I mean, guess each individual person, like I do not lose phone, keys, or wallet. I do not lose these things. Like when I leave, or my glasses, when I leave my house, I always do the four. And I will count to four. One, two, three. Okay, good. We're good to go. But the umbrella is that rare thing. You don't usually have an umbrella. Like the amount of times I've left an umbrella in the movie theater. Oh, we're walking. We're going to the movie theater. And then the movie's over. And, you know, we're amazed at what Iron Man did. And then the movie's done.
You're right. There's almost an encoded message in our brains now that says, get your keys, get your phone.
Yeah.
Glasses are kind of like that. I lost my glasses and I'm not going to. And I went and got expensive ones. I didn't mean to. They're just kind of expensive. You can go either super cheap or, you know, decent glasses frames are pretty expensive.
I used to do the expensive ones. Then I lost them twice. I'm like, nope. And I'm just going to the Shoppers Drug Mart to buy the $14, $17 ones.
I'm
going to
pick up a pair myself. I'm going on vacation next week. So before I go away, I'm going to pick up a pair of Shoppers Drug Mart glasses. Anyway, so here's my question.
Yeah.
And I think you've already answered it. But just to be clear. You can spend like 50, 75, 100 bucks on an umbrella.
Yeah.
And I bet it keeps you dry.
I bet it does.
But then you lose it and you feel like a chump.
Yep.
Or you can spend $9.99 at Dollarama and get a lousy umbrella. When you lose it, you don't care. But you also show up pretty wet wherever you're going.
You show up wet and you show up, you know, like you just made love to a gremlin after midnight. You know, you got scratches. I'm going with an 80s reference. Hey, how you guys doing?
Topical.
Very topical. What's the deal with getting them wet? Here's my solution, Bob.
Okay.
Don't buy one. I've never bought an umbrella in my life. If you told me a good umbrella is $25 or $125, I'd believe you either way. I have never bought an umbrella in my entire life. And the worst one on the other side are the people with two big umbrellas. Like they look like they're on the 12th hole of the Masters. And like, you know, you're walking on the sidewalk and it takes the entire sidewalk. I hate that. You can't walk with an umbrella on a sidewalk on a rainy day because everyone's got umbrellas.
They do look happy though, don't they? The people with the giant umbrella.
They do. They look superior.
All right. So your philosophy is the Zen philosophy, which is just open yourself up to the universe and the umbrella will provide itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I like
that.
Yeah. 100%.
I got a bunch of stuff I want to go over with you today. But before I do, I kind of want to ask you about the Leafs, because you've been doing TSN 1050 now for the last, about a week and a half in the mornings?
Yeah.
With Carlo?
Yeah.
And you've been sounding good.
Carlo's fun.
Yeah. We're going to do a segment a little later called What Mac Got Wrong on TSN 1050 this week.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. I do it all the time on the show.
Yeah. Not just little mistakes, some really big ones too. Yeah. All right. So, but before we do that, I want to gauge, has the official panic set in about when is Nylander going to sign this deal? It hasn't kick-started yet?
No, it hasn't. Here's the thing.
Because I'm starting to hear, I feel like a spider and you got your legs on the webs and you're starting to get tremors.
No.
I'm feeling webby tremors.
You know what you're feeling, Bob?
What?
August. You're feeling, and no offense to any producers at SportsCenter, I get it. You got to feel the content. The Leafs are interesting. This is going to be the most interesting year for the Maple Leafs since the 60s. And that's not hyperbole. That's just the flat-out truth. So then, what are we going to talk about? Nothing. Everyone's getting along. There are no leaks. But Nylander becomes the obvious conversation. But here's the thing. Don't Pridham and Dubas and Shanahan, don't they deserve the benefit of the doubt, like the Leafs organization? For the most part, they've done things right. No really major screw-ups. So you have that.
They've offered some pretty big contracts, and it was under Lou Lamoriello. And in fairness, though, we can't say Dubas because he hasn't negotiated this kind of deal before. So there is an unknown factor here.
The umbrella of all of Leafs management.
Callback.
Oh, thank you. I'll include Lamoriello there. The Zaitsev deal was a little bit long, but there hasn't been that. They haven't made too many big mistakes. So if you have that, you have Nylander saying, I'm fine with it. I don't mind it going slow. I knew it was going to go slow. And also, you have Nylander saying, I want a long-term deal. When a player says, I want a long-term deal, that's also them saying, I'm comfortable with this team.
Dubas has done a lot of smart things, and I feel like they've stocked the pond with a lot of good young players, and you can say they've been smart in that way.
Yeah.
We'll see how these draft picks turn out because the most recent ones, because they're not ready to go yet.
Yeah. Oh, hold on a second. Amy, go to the gym. When the tea is ready, I do the sponsored reads. Amy was waiting to make the tea for you.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? No, go to the gym. Ames. Bob,
go to the gym.
Go to the gym.
Matt blathers on about Jeff Pollock and Seat Giant, and I pour myself a tea and then sit back down.
Yeah. Get down to the gym. Go.
It's a perfect symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. Bye.
That we have.
See how nice she is? Actually, later, I'll tell you a story involving Amy and I and a little bird that I might cry.
That's nice.
Like, literally.
We ran into a little rabbit today. We had a rabbit running around our yard.
Yeah.
Downtown Toronto.
Well, later I'll tell you the story of Chirp Chirp. But getting back to
it. Chirp Chirp. Okay, so let's get back to it. Yes, yeah. Nylander. Yes, the team has been smart. We trust that they are going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, sometimes the right thing means playing hard ass, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
right?
Of course.
So we'll have to see how that turns out. It's just that there are so many other factors that are tied into this. Because whatever number he sets.
Yeah.
Marner looks at that. Matthews looks at that.
Yeah.
It's got repercussions. It's like dropping a stone in a lake. There's ripples.
It's the biggest non-story out there in Toronto. It's because it is a huge story. And you're right. The ripple effect is going to be massive. But there hasn't been any sort of negativity. There's very few times where guys hold out. Like, actually, the one that Carlo brought up was that Kadri, he held out for the first 2 weeks of training camp and for his RFA deal. And of course, Amy still major the T because heaven forbid, because she's nicer than
a little peck on
the ear
too.
She's nicer than all of us.
She's better than you, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Absolutely.
Not hard, exactly.
But so I don't worry about it.
You don't. I'm saying, are people worried about it? Are you starting to get the feeling from Leafs Nation? Because you're right. There's nothing else to worry about.
Yeah.
And we're used to worrying.
Yeah.
But I went on Maple Leafs aggregator this morning just to see if anything was up, any pressing news.
Yeah.
And all the articles, Bruce Arthur, TSN says Leafs should be a top five team.
Yep.
Craig Button says Leafs should be contenders to come, for years to come.
They are, yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, now that's, we got nothing to talk
got
about.
Got nothing.
We got nothing. You're about 3 weeks away from the start of training camp or whatever it is. I don't know. I kind of see the Nylander thing as a big deal.
It is a big deal, but I have faith that not only Leafs manager will get it done, but Nylander has said, I want a long-term deal. When a player says that, what they are advocating for
is a long-term
stability.
Deal?
you know, not chaos, not mystery, not the unknown. You haven't heard anything from, say, Nylander's camp where it's Nylander not happy with progress. Like, there'll be little tidbits out there if things aren't going well, but there's nothing out there. It just seems like two groups, there'll be a little bit of debate, there'll be, you know, moments of uncomfortable, like any negotiation, and we'll move on. And the reason Nylander's story is out there, because the only other story out there is everything's awesome with the Leafs. So we need the swing.
Do you remember we used to play Everything is Awesome from the Lego movie?
Yeah.
Whenever
yeah.
we were really happy on the old radio show?
Yeah.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so then quickly, over under, 7 times 6.5 for Nylander.
8, 6.5
All right, so you're going over.
Over
you're
under.
Going over
with over
term.
For term, under for dollars.
And as we've discussed, when a player is Nylander's age, I worry less about term than I do AAV.
Yeah, of course.
And then only for cap considerations.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right. So then we can't milk this thing into a topic, so then let's move on.
By the way, I'm not going to lie to you. I tried on Monday. I took a sentence from Steve Simmons' Sunday column, and then I tried to make this into something involving Nylander, and Dave Feschuk shut it down.
Really?
And I was like, eh, I tried my best.
Right.
Monday was a light sports
as
day.
As opposed to talking about shorts, because I heard you guys talking about shorts a lot on Monday. Should men wear shorts to work?
Yeah, well, you got brought up. You got brought up in that conversation.
I did?
Yeah.
In what context?
Well, in all the context. First off, Monday was a light sports day. Mm-hmm. I wore shorts to work because I was going straight from the show to the X. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to wear shorts. And I never wear shorts to work because when I was 25, in my first month at Off the Record, one Bob Mackowitz said, you know, Matt, real men don't wear shorts to work. And instead of externalizing, instead of getting angry at you, I stopped. I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Men don't. I never wore shorts again. Hell, you know, I don't wear shorts usually unless I'm up in my cottage. I don't wear shorts in the city. And that was the first day that I had worn shorts to work since 2000 of Off the Record.
I just have to say, on my mom's side of the family, as she said, I grew up around men with shirts and pants. Shirts yeah. and pants and belts.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
It drives George nuts because I work with George and we record a lot of content at his place, a lot yeah. of concerts. And, you know, it's a rock and roll show.
Yeah.
And I show up in a shirt and dress pants and a tie.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm at work.
Yeah.
I'm at work. I'm not like hanging out with the guys.
Yeah.
If you want to hang out afterwards, I'll take my tie off.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm at work.
Yeah.
And so I look like the narc.
Yeah.
Because everyone else has like a bone through their nose.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone else looks like they got like they just played paintball because their arms and yeah. chests are like covered in
just
tattoos.
Tatted up.
And there I am, the narc.
Yeah.
At the back of the Behemoth concert.
Yeah.
Which actually they're coming. I don't know if you know Behemoth.
But of course.
They're one of the
They're big.
Oh my God. They're huge in Poland.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they were banned by Poland.
Really?
Yeah, I think the Polish government actually banned them from playing there under charges of witchcraft and demonism.
Okay. I got a thought here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get to my Harold Ramis thought with you.
Okay.
But I just thought of this. If you're a band and you've been banned from a nation,
mm-hmm.
There's only two reasons. One, you're like this super cool band and the government can't handle you. Or two, you've probably got lots of Nazi things in your music. And by the way, those are the only two reasons. That's it.
There's only one more. Hmm. And you kind of ban yourself and it's for tax purposes.
Ooh. Yeah,
there's like, a lot of bands that somehow find themselves yeah. operating out of France.
Yeah, like
because
the
they
Rolling
don't want to pay
Stones
Rolling
fled
Stones, right?
England, you know, and we're hanging out in Morocco.
Right.
Not just for the hashish.
Yeah, although partially for that too.
Partially.
Okay, so yeah. Harold Ramis. I want to talk to you about Josh Donaldson, but
okay. No, real quick, just when you're talking about you're the narc with Stromopoulos and everyone, and you got your shirt and you know I'm going with
see
this.
Where this is
you know
going.
I'm going
I
with
do.
This. One of the greatest SCTV sketches, Harold Ramis undercover mounting the police. He'd be on the mounting police horse wearing a tie-dyed shirt with a bunch of hippies going, "Hello, dudes. Do you know where I can score some marijuana?" Yeah, some marijuana. So yeah, it's my favorite narc.
He's on the horse. Dressed like a hippie.
Yeah. So good.
Oh, that is so good. All right, so
Donaldson.
A couple of, not really stories, but I thought there was an interesting parallel between the Raptors and the Jays that has come up recently.
Okay.
And it's, what do you do to make sure your best player doesn't leave for nothing?
Yeah.
Because Josh Donaldson's still hurt.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's not in the lineup against Baltimore with the second trade deadline looming, kind of suggest that they're going to get nothing.
The most devastating quad injury ever.
Right.
Not since Troy Tulowitzki's bone spur injuries has there been an injury as devastating as Donaldson's quad.
I think from now on we can say that if the manager says a player has a dead arm at the start of the season, he's done.
Don't take him in your fantasy team.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it looks like they're going to get nothing for him because it's hard to imagine him being a J next year.
Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine a team making an offer for him now. And I'm not even sure we're going to see him for the rest of the year in a Jays uniform. Like, just may never see Josh Donaldson again.
Oh, yeah.
And it is staggering to think that he's an MVP player.
Yep.
Who was part of one of the most dynamic squads that the franchise has ever had.
Offensively, they clubbed people for a year and a half.
Unbelievable. And he really was the heart of it. And it's so dynamic. And you remember, this isn't the tri-league. And just his whole attitude and the stirring it up when he would be standing on second base. And you know,
great.
The rally stirs that the team would do.
Yeah.
Like, there was so much love for this guy. And I can't think of another situation where an MVP, the best player in the league, has ever left the city with such a fizzle?
Ooh, it's a good question.
The hand-wringing over Matt Sundin, the hand-wringing over Curtis Joseph, Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, Tracy McGrady, you name it. Like, this is literally a sneaking out the back door in the middle of the night, shutting it quietly behind you.
It is. Okay, different analogy for the Blue Jays. You know what they are? You've gone to this great party, okay? Awesome. And you got really drunk. And then you pass out and you wake up and everyone's left the party. That's what it feels like as a Jays fan. It feels like I'm partying in 2016 and I wake up, I'm like, where's Jose? Where's Edwin? Where's Aaron Sanchez? Where's Marcus Stroman? Where's Donaldson? Where's the W's? Where the hell is everybody? They're all gone. There's no Troy, there's no Donaldson. Stroman's now hurt. Sanchez had a bad rehab start. Where is everybody?
Have you ever been the guy who wakes up at the house the next day and everybody's already left? And you're in that awkward position where you have to talk to, like, the house owner?
I haven't. Oh, that sounds horrible.
It's not good.
That sounds horrible.
It's not good. And they just want you to leave so bad so they can get on with their day. But you're kind of hungover and you don't want to move that fast.
Yeah.
Here's a rule if this has ever happened to you or might happen to you again. Don't ask for breakfast.
No.
It's not Matt's B&B.
No.
Just get the hell out.
Get out. And also, when you're hungover, you don't want to talk to people. Flee. Flee as fast as you can.
Get to a McDonald's, have a couple hash browns, drag your ass home via Uber.
Yeah.
By the way,
think about who you need to apologize to and move on.
That's right. Yeah. Start feverishly trying to recollect what you may or may not have done.
Who did I say it? Who heard that?
I stopped drinking about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Oh, it's so much easier.
It's so much easier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Like, just...
I don't have to check my phone for texts that I'm going to regret.
Yeah, there's nothing. None of that at all.
Just terrific.
Yeah.
All right, so you got the Donaldson situation.
Yep.
Where you've got, you know, it feels like a fizzle. And then the Raps, who feel a bit like that guy who's dating a girl who's way above his league in Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
And he'll do anything to keep her happy.
Mm-hmm. Bringing in that the fellow from
Jeremy
the Spurs.
Castleberry from the Spurs, a coach with the Spurs they hired.
By the way... In the article, he wasn't a coach. Quote, he was a San Antonio Spurs staffer. He wasn't actually...
That's true, actually.
He wasn't actually a coach. And it's nothing against Jeremy, who played high school basketball with Kawhi, so they know each other. And I'm sure whatever this individual's done, I have no idea your bona fides, Mr. Barry. With Castleberry?
Castleberry. I think. I'm pretty
sounds
sure.
Sounds like a cereal with too much sugar in it.
Frankenberry.
And we'll get to the X and food at some point. But yeah, it just, great move by the Raptors. Smart. Whatever it takes, bring in a staffer from the Spurs.
I don't know if it's a great move. I wonder how this is going to look for team chemistry. Team chemistry is such a big part of why they succeeded last year.
Yep.
They really played together well on the court, but they also really liked each other off the court.
They sure did.
I know it's a classic intangible, but I think there's something to it. When you really like your team, even if it's an extra 2% better, so what? Like, you're playing against the best athletes in the world. You need an extra 2%.
What you don't want is resentment. You don't want resentment when the organization, when other players are like, wait, I signed long term. I'm here. I'm doing this. This guy here, we don't know what he sounds like. I made the joke the other day. He could sound like Pee Wee Herman. We have no idea what Kawhi Leonard sounds like. And all the reports are he's leaving for LA. He doesn't want to be here, and the organization is bending over backwards for him. What about me? Because I want to be here for the next 4 years.
So well, and especially when you get rid of the guy who talked openly all the time about how much he wanted to be here.
Yeah, there can be resentment. That's going to be a fine line that's got to be figured out.
I don't think they care, the Raptors organization, who likes it or doesn't like it.
Yeah.
I think the philosophy is you got a top five player, and this is the NBA, so if you don't like it, shut up and go to Memphis.
Yeah, oh, exactly. And for all the fans...
Go be Patrick Patterson and barely be getting any playing time for Oklahoma.
Yeah, oh yeah, enjoy yourself. And for the fans that are like, oh, sports, right way, teamwork. Hey, fan, let me ask you a question. You could have Kawhi Leonard for an 8-year max deal, but Fred VanVleet's feelings are hurt. Which one are you choosing? You know, it's like, all right.
Who would be most likely to be pissed off by this?
Lowry?
Lowry is the guy who leaps to mind immediately.
Sorry, I didn't say Lowry faster.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, Lowry's been pretty well taken care of by the organization. One of the criticisms of Dwayne Casey is that he let DeMar and Kyle pretty much punch their own ticket.
Yeah.
You know, didn't hold him accountable for much.
Yeah.
Particularly DeMar on the defensive end. So I don't know if he has a lot to complain about. They've taken pretty good care of him.
They've taken very good care of him.
You know, I'm thinking Serge Ibaka, but he's played so poorly.
Yeah.
You know, so even though he's a vet and he's been to a final.
Valanciunas, you know.
But Valanciunas hasn't been that good, and he's got the head coach who didn't want to trade him now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no, I think, so you know what?
Everybody can shut up.
Whatever you got to do. If, you know, if Kawhi's uncle wants to play Fortnite on the Jumbotron in the third, midway of the third quarter of the Raps-Grizzlies game, Fortnite it up, buddy. Do whatever that game is all about.
Do you remember the old Twilight Zone episode where the little boy, kid has the powers?
Everything's great.
Right.
Everything's wonderful.
He can read minds and he wants everyone to only think positive thoughts.
Yeah.
And if you don't, he turns you into like freaky, creepy stuff.
Yeah. Or like a bale of corn or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, everything's good. We're all so happy, Billy. I feel like that's going to be Kawhi Leonard this year.
It's perfect analogy. It's totally Kawhi
I want
Leonard.
A pony. You next to at halftime, there's a pony sitting there at his stall in the
Kawhi
locker.
Leonard says, I like Meek Mill. Drake, you're no longer the global ambassador. Beat it.
Okay, so my daughter is obsessed with these freaking ring pops. You remember ring pops? You know, they're like the lollipop on a ring.
Yeah.
But there's a new kind. It's called like the Power Puff, Double Puff, something or other.
Okay, yeah.
And her friend has them.
Yeah.
And the friend's always, as she says the other day, she's eating it right in front of me.
And so she can't have one?
No. And I said, well, where'd she get it? Like, I don't care. You can have them. If they're at the store, we'll go get them. She goes, she got it at a gas station in Parry Sound. Like, we're not driving to Parry Sound to get you a ring pop, kid.
Yeah.
But now she's trying to figure out, like, how does she get her hands on one? So this is a little bit like my daughter in the ring pop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He's going to get his... Kawhi's getting all the Powerpuff lollipops he can.
Oh, 100% he is. And Masai Ujiri... Get going up to Parry Sound. It's near my girlfriend's cottage. Okay? It's about a three-hour drive from here. It's a beautiful ride. You'll love it. Oh, yeah.
So even though there's no real sort of broader point, I thought it was interesting that both of these teams this week, you can see how they're trying to manage the dilemma of what do you do with a guy who's got all the talent in the world?
Yeah.
Well, that's not Josh Donaldson anymore, but it has been him. And the inevitability that when someone's time is running up in your organization, you can't let them walk for nothing.
Nope, you can't. And the Jays did because they owed it to the fans to try to win.
And they raised ticket prices.
And they raised ticket
prices. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Part. Oh, yeah. No. I've tried it. Maybe I should have had a little more cynicism in my voice when I said that.
Do you want to do it again?
No, because I'm going to move on to the other part. But they don't owe it to the fans to bring up Vlad Guerrero Jr. to entertain the fans for the final 19 home games. And right now they're playing the Baltimore Orioles, who are currently 51 games under 500.
Okay. Now, we didn't discuss the structure of the show, but one of the things I wanted to talk about and things Matt got wrong this week on TSN 1050.
Yeah.
I finally hit the point where I can't take this Vlad Guerrero point of yours anymore.
Why? Bring him up.
Do you want to wait until we get to the segment, or
sure,
do you want to just
do it
now?
Sure, we'll tease it.
Okay.
Tease it.
Okay. Because I was actually, I yelled at the radio.
Did you?
Oh, for bleep's sake, Matt, was exactly the quote. My family wasn't up yet. It was just me. It was you and me. My laptop turned, I was streaming your show with Carlo, and you were talking with somebody and making that point, and I wheeled around and looked at the laptop and said, oh, for bleep's sake,
probably
Matt.
Steve Phillips. And again, let me say,
might have been Scott Mitchell.
Come on, Scott Mitchell. Let me say again. Yeah, if it was 8 o'clock with Scott Mitchell. Let me say again, Bob. It's August, and I'm trying to find new ways of talking about Vlad Guerrero Jr. It's difficult to do.
Wait till you hear my crazy hot take for dot dot dot. Crazy hot take.
You know what's really crazy, Bob?
No, what's that?
being trying to investigate the world of the law.
Oh,
it's
so hard.
Crazy. Like, you don't know anything. You didn't go and spend years at school at, you know, one of them big fancy schools where there's all the textbooks and you're doing the 80s montage where you're studying all night for to try to ace your final law exam and, you know, whatever it is that they do there. That's crazy.
By the way, can we describe the law montage right now? I love it. There's always a guy who falls asleep with his nose in the book and then snaps back up like, oh, where am I?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking the music from Revenge of the Nerds. It takes, you put one step in front of the other, put the other foot down. And they're cleaning their house. And of course, there's a robot involved because they're nerds. It's the 80s.
Not just a robot, Matt, a robot wearing a maid's uniform.
Yeah, the maid robot. Oh, God, I miss Revenge of the Nerds. Well, I also, you know what I don't miss? My days when I was in the dark when it came to the world of the law, because I got Jeff Pollock on our side. He is the official lawyer for the Macklin Cause podcast. He's our lawyer. He should be yours. Listen, I'm a dummy when it comes to the law, but I don't have any concern or worries because Jeff was there to help. He was there to help with my will, got it done easily. He's there for you for litigation, states, trust, whatever you need. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. JeffPollock.com. 416-777-0088. And that number again, 416-777-0088. The man's fantastic lawyer puts you at ease.
Do you want to do Sea Giant now, or you want to wait and until after you've done your X talk?
No. We'll do Sea Giant a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you went to the X?
I went to the X.
How was it?
It was great. Monday by 11:30 in the morning, not very busy. Also, I want to give a shout out to the people that are protesting. I forget which local union group, but there's a group that was protesting. And there wasn't any, we're going to keep you outside, we're going to bar you. There wasn't even any shaming, like, oh, go enjoy the X while we're here fighting for the rights of workers. The only thing the woman said to and we took the pamphlet, and we were chatting for a quick moment. The one thing the woman said to us, wear sunscreen. So good on them. Very, you know, that's
respectful.
Very, very respectful. Very Colin Kaepernick-esque. Wait a minute. Get those people. They hate soldiers. The X was everything you wanted to be. All the rides were there. The big food I had, my first thing I ate was a milkshake called Morning Glory. I didn't realize that that's a sexual thing, like having sex in the sex first thing in the morning.
Is that true?
Apparently.
I didn't know that either.
I mentioned it this morning and Carlo started doing the childish gig. Ah, Morning Glory. I'm like, no, this was a milkshake with lots of whipped cream, Captain Crunch cereal, a full strawberry Pop-Tart, part whipped in, half of it on top with a couple other things.
Pop-Tart?
Yeah.
That's great. But it was mixed in? Was it like broken half, up and crumbled?
Half mixed in, half on the top.
Okay.
It's a little accoutrement to be eaten.
No, that's cool. That's
delicious.
Classy.
Yeah, delicious.
Are you a Pop-Tart guy?
Of course.
Yeah.
Who isn't a Pop-Tart guy? But I always, the great thing about the X is there's always a lot more tattoos and a lot more jean shorts than at Canada's Wonderland. And we can have the debate, but I like the fact that they both are very different. And they both give you very different things. And there are some fun rides that'll give you thrills. You still always wonder, that fellow with the neck tattoo that's drinking a Red Bull is securing me in this ride where I'm about to go 100 feet in the air.
So, a couple thoughts on that.
Yeah.
I believe I've mentioned this before. Maybe not on the pod, but the old radio show.
Yeah.
I, as a kid, used to work at Ontario Place.
Yeah.
I was a lifeguard on the water slide. Mm-hmm. So I would walk through the grounds while they were building up the X.
Yeah.
And the ride would be done, and there'd be all kinds of parts still at the bottom of the ride. Like extra parts.
Yeah.
You know when you'd build your IKEA bookcase?
Yeah.
And you haven't used all the screws?
Yeah.
And you think, oh, where are these supposed to go?
Not only are you scared, you don't want to put a book on your bookcase because there's an extra part. But yet now you're gonna go up in the Deathosaurus race.
Right. So there's always that.
Yeah.
The thing, you make a great point about the X. It is different than Canada's Wonderland. People always want to equate them, and there's an obvious reason.
The roller coasters.
The roller coasters and rides and food fun and all that.
Yeah.
But one's a carnival.
Yeah.
And the other one's an amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
The amusement park is the sanitized version of the carnival.
Yeah.
The carnival has to have, you know what the carnival has? Mm. Carnies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like grifters.
Grifters.
It's a big hustle. Built out of, the wrestling speak, you know, like kayfabe and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Did you know it actually evolved out of carnival talk?
No, because that makes
that's
total
where
sense.
The carnies could talk to each other in front of the customers who were the marks.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so there was like a whole kind of like Pig Latin thing that evolved out of it, and it was its own separate language. But it's basically so they could indicate who would be good to rip off.
Yeah.
And how to rip them off.
Yeah.
So that's the carnival. It's by nature a little seedier.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know what? It's great. I love it. And I don't love, like, you know, when you're trying to win a prize for your niece and, you know, you spend like $10 and you still haven't got it. And then you spend $20 and you get a small thing that's worth only $1.95 at most.
Did you go on the Polar Express?
Of course.
So good.
On the Polar Express.
And did they say it? Do you want to go fast?
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry. Yes. Oh, of course they did. Yeah.
Good.
And then everyone, we all scream yes. And we, you try to crush the person who's on the outside.
Always. Always. Do not be on the outside for the Polar Express.
Be on the outside.
When you were a kid, what ride were you most afraid of at the X? The one that you had to build up all your courage to go on?
I would say always like the one where it's called like the Ring of Fire, where it's basically right. Just a ring and you go and it sways back and forth, but eventually it goes all the way upside down.
Right.
Like that one's pretty freaky.
And the pirate ship back in the day used to go really high. They lowered it, but you used to go basically perpendicular to the ground.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I was afraid of the zipper. Mm-hmm. I'd heard stories as a kid, like my friend Boris Maidan, rest his soul, used to talk about how he heard a guy barfed on the zipper.
Yeah.
And it flew on somebody's head down below because they were upside down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember thinking, what kind of ride could do such devilry to a man?
Oh, yeah.
I'm terrified of the zipper. I'm not sure I've ever actually gone on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, there was a barf incident when we were there, but it was on the swings, the ones that go way up high. And
oh,
then,
no. So did it launch?
Thankfully.
Was it like a slingshot of barf?
Thankfully, the only victims was the concrete on the ground.
Thank, because so, that could be awful. Boy, that'd be bad on a date.
That would be horrible
you
on a date.
You can't come back from that.
No, that's near. That's pretty much done.
It's bad if a seagull goes on you.
Yeah.
That's hard to come back from, but never mind a volley of vomit.
You've got
to
be really attractive. I feel Brad Pitt from Legends of the Fall could have gotten away with it. She's like, nah, it's fine. It's good luck in some of those bad countries. Yeah. You know? Like bird poos on you, that's good luck in Italy. You know, you get barfed on, it's good luck in a nation that still has genocide. Yeah, that's a bad one. That's a bad beat.
So are you recommending the X to people?
Absolutely, 100%. Got to go to the X. You've got to try, you know, the hot dog that's surrounded in pickle and then deep fried or, you know, whatever it is.
Is that a thing or did you make it up?
No. Oh, no. It was consumed by girlfriend and nephew.
That sounds good.
It does. You got to go to try the foods you would never try, to eat really just unhealthy things and go on a bunch of rides. And it's a fun day.
I've never been happy that they got rid of the foods of the world area.
Yeah.
Do you remember you would go and you'd get Bavarian waffles and they would just have, you know, you could get Ukrainian food and there would be little stalls.
Yeah.
About 20 of them. Switzerland, the United States, you'd go get burgers.
Yeah.
And it was the idea, it was ethnic food. It's like a little food court.
Yeah.
And they had Jamaican chicken there. And sweet Jesus, it was good. My family would go to the X just to get $20, which back in the day was a lot.
$20,
like,
yeah.
We'd basically, it would be like an enormous pail of Jamaican chicken and sit there and eat it. Oh my God, that was one of my family's best memories.
Yeah.
So, miss that chicken. And then you go to the food building for H salt fish and chips for $1 and Primo spaghetti for 39 cents.
Well, now it's up. It's 99 cents spaghetti. It's been 99 cents for the last bunch of years. Yeah. And the one thing you don't do, I see people going there and going to Subway. Like, what are you doing getting a sub or someone going to Tim Hortons? Like,
Mark Masters eating at McDonald's when he's at the French Open.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing? Like, Subway, like, literally, you probably passed 4 Subways. Subway restaurants just to get into the X. You don't need to go to it. Ridiculous.
Oh, mercy me.
Yeah.
All right. So I got some dot, dot, dots.
Yep.
And I've got what Mac got wrong on TSN 1050 this week.
Do you have
anything? Do you want to do anything before we get to either of those?
Real quick first, SeatGiant.ca. They are our Canadian partner on this show. Concert tickets, sporting event tickets, whatever you want. SeatGiant.ca. The important thing, it's a Canadian company and everything's in Canadian dollars. Don't worry about things in American money. Like, for instance, the Jays game on ESPN. You could buy tickets for tonight's game against Baltimore for as low as $6. But guess what, suckers? it's an American money. You're spending $8.47 to watch players you've never heard of before. But with Seat Giant, all in Canadian, when you're at checkout to save money, click the add button and click on the discount code Bob and Matt. Just type in Bob and Matt as the discount code and you will save a little, you'll save some money on your ticket. We get a big kickback. So it is win-win. SeatGiant.ca.
Nicely done. Yeah. I actually had that experience this week. I stopped myself and I almost got a coupon to go to the Ripley's Aquarium.
Yeah.
Till I saw it was in American funds.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, bleep that.
Bleep that.
Also, Groupon is like, you got to use it on Thursday at, you know, 8 a.m. That's the only time.
Groupon's not bad. I've done Kung Fu.
Yeah.
I went to a Kung Fu gym once.
Yep.
For 10 classes that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga, I missed entirely. So it's almost like Groupon coupons are basically vegetables in the crisper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You buy them and then you throw them out when they die.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I bought the box of lettuce and then you open it 3 days later. Like, ugh, this kind of smells bad.
Yeah, and there's that awful green paste that settles at the bottom that looks like algae.
This spring mix does not look like spring. Hey, before we do real quick, do you want to talk about your big swimming event over the weekend?
Just quickly, I did the swim leg of a relay in the Toronto Triathlon. So I did 750 meters. That felt really good. It was hard. In my first 100 meters, I thought, I can't do this. I might as well just turn around. And then you settle it down and you go, no, you can do this.
Yep.
You're going to be all right.
Just once you get in the rhythm of the strokes, it apparently is easier.
I veered off course, though.
What's that?
I veered off course. I had it about 75 meters.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I knew I veered off course when I basically bumped into the pylon that said, keep out.
Oh, no. I would be the same way. Whenever I start swimming, just casually swimming to my lake, I'll look up and I'm like, I'm not aimed at the dock anymore. I'm in the other direction. It's hard.
I'm going to keep doing it until I finally turn 50. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's down the road, but because I figure if I keep going, it's my last chance to dominate anything athletically.
Yeah.
Is to be like the youngest 50-year-old in a triathlon.
Ooh, yeah, that's true.
Like, it'll take time to get there, but if I can keep training between now and then.
Yeah.
Like, remember in high school when, or in junior school, like you were the oldest kid on your team?
You could dominate.
Oh, you were the tallest one, the strongest one, the fastest one.
Here's the thing, Bob. Hmm. Spoiler alert, I was never the tallest one, ever. There's never been a time I've been the tallest one.
Were you ever on a team in high school? Did you ever make a high school team?
I was on the ski team, mostly because they needed more people to ski. And I said, I will join, but I don't want to be taught anything. And I don't want you to care how I finish. Because I love to ski, but I'm like, you know, so it was a fun day. I did pretty well in terms of my times, but that was my rule. I'm like, don't teach me anything, and I don't want any expectations. And they were like, done. I'm like, great, I'm on the team.
I love how you have unconventional sports in your life. I mean, skiing's not that unconventional, but for years you were into badminton.
Yep, I was on played a lot of badminton, long distance running, and skiing.
You're the best.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into things you got wrong on TSN 1050 this week. We'll take them in order, okay?
Okay.
And I yelled at the radio at all of them.
Yeah.
Ovechkin is going to have a bad year.
Yep.
Don't take Alex Ovechkin in your fantasy pool.
I said, take him lower than you would expect.
Okay.
Yes.
Your logic was so flawed. Like he's only human and he's got a kid now. And so he's going to settle into his emeritus years. Alex Ovechkin was born to play hockey. Mm-hmm. That guy is so competitive. And he's a physical freak. We thought he was done once before. I'm not betting against him.
He's
the greatest goal scorer in history.
Those things are true. And the last word on that statement was history. Bob,
mm-hmm.
what would you say your average hours of sleep were before and after CC?
Before about 6 hours a night and afterwards minus three.
Yeah. Okay. Same thing with athletes. And they have sleep coaches. And the only people, the only group of human beings that talk about napping less than morning show radio hosts are professional athletes. Okay? Like all we talk about is like, how's the nap? When'd you nap? And with athletes more, he's going to get less sleep. Once you've accomplished the greatest thing, like you won the championship, there is a tendency to exhale.
You know, Matt, when I had CeCe.
Yeah.
We didn't exactly have the resources of an Alex Ovechkin mm-hmm. to work with.
I know.
Like, I'm sure he's got nannies night for nurses. His nannies.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, no, I understand that. But it's still, there's going to be a baby around. And there's also the satisfaction of winning it all. And he could still have a great year. But I think the first 2 months, much like the Pittsburgh Penguins, were horrible the first month and a half of this year because they didn't care. And
but on radio, you didn't say they could have a winning hangover. You said that Alex Ovechkin, I expect him to have a pretty bad year.
For his standards, yeah.
His standards are best in the league, though.
Well, he's going to go down.
Is he going to be a top 10 scorer in goals next year?
In points, no.
In goals?
He'll be like ninth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a drop-off for him.
The anthem in the NFL... Mm-hmm. And ESPN has made the decision not to air the anthem when it broadcasts games.
Good.
And you like that.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay.
Here's why Matt's wrong.
Okay.
So the whole point of a protest is so that you can broadcast it out to the public and make it known.
Yes.
So I understand that the NFL doesn't want this because it's very contentious for them and they lose viewership because people who don't like what they're protesting or how they're protesting get mad.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are ginning them all up
to
say, okay, well, ban the NFL then and we're going to win America back one rung at a time.
It's about time. I don't know where America is, but it's time to win it back. Wherever it is right now.
But here's the thing. I understand why the NFL wants to do it. I understand why ESPN wants to do what the NFL wants to do.
Yeah.
But it disrespects the fundamental right for an American to speak freely in public. And I think that when we talk about what the owners do and how they want to shut them down and what the NFL does and they want to shut them down, I think ESPN becomes party to that. And I think it's disrespectful to the causes that they are trying to support, specifically police brutality. Let's go back to that, which is where this all began.
Yeah.
By just saying, we're not going to be part of this, what you're basically saying is, I don't respect the cause enough to allow Americans to decide for themselves whether they agree with you or not. And to me, that is so un-American and so gutless and so for the buck. You know, it's your way of just saying, I wash my hands of your cause, pardon the pun, because it's just going to cost me money in the end. Mm-hmm. And it's so gutless. So for all those criticisms I had of the owners and all those criticisms I had of the league, I now extend it to the broadcasters that won't air it as well. You're just trying to save your own asses and some extra bucks at the expense of the First Amendment.
My pushbacks to that. First, none of this, of course, as you know, was me being against the protest.
No, you've always been very for it from day one.
The main reason why I was happy it was gone was it devolved into who's doing what. No one on ESPN during the game broadcast was having a conversation of, you know, police brutality, the realities or the myths thereof. All they were doing is, it was almost like a scoreboard. Standing, kneeling, white guy with hand on black guy's shoulder, standing, kneeling, fist up. Like, it was almost like the old Wheel of Fortune when after you won, you could pick your prize and the camera would pan and you would take the catamaran and the love seat. So it sort of devolved into that. It was almost like snitching. Who's doing what? So that, for me, I never found compelling.
You're right. There was a peeping Tom to it.
With ESPN also, they cover Kaepernick and sports and politics all the time. You know, I think they'll probably do a little bit less of that. But, I mean, outside the lines, Bob Lee, they do a bunch of that. So I got no problem. So I still think ESPN, they'll do their due diligence. I think they'll do a little bit less. And also, you know, if any of these athletes, when they're not at their place of employment, if they protest, if they're, you know, at a school or at a speaking engagement, ESPN cameras will be there. The stories will be reported. But for me, the main thing
But this is the big story, though, Matt. Like, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But this is being part of the story. This is more than just reporting on what other people are doing in other walks of life and other spheres. Mm-hmm. This is actually being there on ground level. I think you make some good points, but I keep coming back to this. If you want to play the anthem and do the rah-rah America and we love this country, and that's what it was for, let's not kid ourselves. It was to get everybody juiced up before a football game and to associate yourself brand-wise with, you know, America and apple pie.
And by the way,
then respect the basic values enough to show it. Like, if you're going to show the anthem ever and get the rub from that, then show when people are not standing for it, because that's what the flag represents.
Absolute. In that part, we agree. By the way, I'm not anti-patriotism. If you want to rah-rah love your country, great. No matter what country you're in. I always find people go, I hate Americans with all their nationalism. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like people in Switzerland. If you're proud of being Switzerland, hey, knock yourself out. Same thing with Canadians. But you're right. If you are going to project patriotism, part of patriotism is freedom of speech and the ability to protest is, in fact, an incredibly American and a very patriotic thing to do.
If you're going
to
walk away from it, that's fine. That's a decision. And I don't think that the anthem should be played before games anyway. So it's not like I'm offended if it goes away. I think that's always been the right decision. But since it's become the standard, like, then don't do it at the Super Bowl. You know, don't get Alicia Keys to get up there and sing God Bless America. And don't get, you know, Aretha Franklin, God rest her soul, you know, to, you know, whoever her replacement's going to be, to go up and do America the Beautiful and all that. Like, just play the freaking football game. Mm-hmm. Like, don't trot it out when it's good for your image, but then bury it when it's bad for your bottom line.
Because
that's un-American.
Have it all. Have the anthem and have the protests.
You are right about the peeping factor, though. Sorry to interrupt.
So I was just...
You just tell them, like, don't say anything then? Mm-hmm. Like, why do you got to talk during the anthem anyway? And don't talk about it afterwards. Just let the camera do its job.
Yeah.
I can see what's happening.
Yeah.
And I'll make up my own mind.
That'd be a good compromise.
Vlad Guerrero. How much time do we have?
We got like 10 minutes.
Okay. We're never going to get to dot, dot, dot. I finally snapped when I heard you say for the millionth time they should just bring him up.
Yes.
And that it was small town thinking to not let the fans enjoy the best young, not the best player in the world, not yet in the major leagues.
Yeah, I think what I said was, you know, why worry about, you know, 2025 when Ivanka Trump is president to, you know, to...
With a robot maid.
With a robot maid. You're going to put one foot in. just, I don't care about 2025. Bring him up. If he can, he's not learning anything with the Buffalo Bisons. And also, sports is entertainment. Entertain us.
What's more entertaining than having a great player for one extra year? Look, it's the...
Spoken like an owner wanting to control these young men. Shame on you, owner Mackowitz.
Spoken like a fan that wants to be patient. If there's any city now in North America that loves the idea of a good rebuild, it might be Toronto.
Sure.
Houston's up there. I'm sure Chicago's pretty keen on a good rebuild too. But think about with the Leafs. Like, you suffer a little bit and then you're setting yourself up for a longer run.
Mm-hmm. But the other side of this is if
you're
listen, if the team is winning and you're smart ownership, you'll sign him anyway. Oh, that one extra year of control. We've got to make sure we control him. You think the Yankees care about that? Yeah, like, listen, if you're going to do it, then just come out. Okay, here's our compromise. Well, you know, I'll compromise. I'm fine with it, but I want Shapiro and Atkins just to come out and say, it's not because, well, we don't want to play him and we're worried about defense. Just say, we want to control him for one more year because that's in the CBA and we're going to use it to our advantage. If you do that, fine.
I miss Alex Anthopoulos, who just used to say stuff like, you know, we want to have players under contract that we can control long term. Like, you just talked openly about this is the CBA and we want controllable players.
The best way to get out of a lie is just to be honest. And like if you've done something wrong, instead of going, well, I didn't mean to, just go, I'm sorry. And then 3-2-1, we move on with our life. Just be honest with it. And we move on.
Which is a different point of view than they should just do it.
Oh, no, I think they should just do it as well. But also just be honest. But they should do it. Bring them up. Oh, no, 2025.
It's, he hits once every 9 batters.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're going to get that much bang for your buck.
Be honest. How much more excited? Like, I don't know. You know how many hours you've carved out for tonight and tomorrow's games against the Baltimore Orioles? I'm assuming only 2.5 hours, okay? Which is a little bit more than me. I can only do 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Well, it is rainy today, so they might...
Even better, the game will be in a dome. The roof will be closed, which makes baseball so much better in Toronto in August. But how much more excited would you be if you knew that Vlad Guerrero Jr. Was going to be playing? You would be watching, because they would televise it, it's batting practice, and every at-bat, your eyes are glued to it.
They would be breaking into CFL games live on TSN to show us at-bats.
Unless Johnny Manziel's playing. Actually, that'd be weird if TSN was airing a Jays game. Wow, something happened at management.
I imagine one day they're probably going to. But just one that's a speculation on another path.
Rogers, Belcourt.
But you're assuming that Vlad Guerrero is going to come up and rip up the major leagues the way he's doing AAA and the minors.
Like,
would you be that excited to burn a year of his controllability if he came up and he hit 220
and had a home run or two? I'm fine. I want to see it. And every baseball mind has said he already could come up and have a great bat. And from the dispassionate Keith Law to the slightly passionate Buster Olney to the super passionate, you know, Steve Simmons or Jay's, you know, whoever Jay's beat reporters. We all want it to happen, Bob. But much like you, voice of management are over there worried about his return on investments and his bottom line.
Wearing a suit and a tie. What a rock show.
Yeah, there's George Strombopoulos trying to do his best clash, and your tie is clashing with his vibe.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
All right, so we got a few minutes. I'm going to roll out some dot, dot, dots and a shocking hot take, which I know will be totally wrong eventually.
Love it.
All right, so first one. After much deliberation, I now think that Sticky Fingers is the best Stones album. Dot, dot, dot.
My eyes are rolling. It's not. Okay, sorry, Kurt.
You've got Brown Sugar. You've got Wild Horses.
Uh-huh.
You've got Sway. Mm-hmm.
You got
like,
Bitch.
Yeah.
You missed the best song, All the Horns.
Yeah, Bitch is a great song. You've got, Can't You Hear Me Knocking?
Yeah, all great songs.
You know, like.
It's not better than Exile. It's not better than Beggar's Banquet. It's not better than Let It Bleed.
I think Exile, this is what I've... And you know Exile was always my favorite.
Yep.
But I've kind of decided there's a few songs that are a little too country for me. Like Sweet Virginia.
Sweet Virginia is an awesome song. I'm going to hit you with this microphone. Jeez, just because you want to be hipster, I can't be country. I'll be seen as conservative. Get out of here. It's a great song. Little twang, little sway. Love that song.
All right. And look, there's no right or wrong answer, except in this case, where Sticky Fingers is the best. And you know what?
Get out of here.
Even though we always do this, we will throw the question out, and we would love your input on this one.
Yeah.
Put it on our Instagram account. even though they've lost twice, I'm not as worried about Arsenal as I could be, or maybe even should be. I'm sure you don't want to touch that one. Poor Hunter Shinkaruk, a top pick looking for a home finally to get some traction. Hard to do it with the Habs, where everyone and no one is the answer to a bunch of bad management decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Feel bad for any young player that goes to the Habs.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so desperate for an answer to their problems.
Yeah.
And I don't know that kid's
could be worse. Could be in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Could be
Kirby
Kachuk.
Reichel. Like, you looked him for Kirby Reichel.
Yeah.
So how much better do you expect this kid to make you?
Yeah.
And the final one. Here's my hot take alert. You ready for it?
Let's do it.
Sam Darnold will throw for more yards than Andrew Luck this year.
I don't know, Bob. Teddy Bridgewater, the MVP of the preseason. Holy shit. I am so sick of Teddy bleeping Bridgewater talk. Oh, my God.
He's like 16 for 23. I think, yeah.
It's great. It gets second stringers all over the place.
If Teddy Bridgewater was in Minnesota right now and doing exactly the same thing, you think we'd be talking about it?
Yeah.
Oh, or if he was in Denver. He's in New York.
Here's my
okay, Darnold versus Luck.
My pushback is, because obviously Andrew Luck, who knows how healthy he'll be, and the Jets are going to want to get Darnold out there because, again, they're looking to trade this generation's Joe Montana with Teddy Bridgewater. Here's why I would take Andrew Luck. And it's got nothing to do with Luck or Darnold. You know what it has to do with? The Colts have no running game and no defense. So that's a lot of fantasy garbage yards.
He's throwing deep a lot.
He has no choice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Andrew Luck.
But you're assuming he's going to be healthy through the whole year.
Yeah.
He's going to get pounded a lot again.
He is going to get pounded a lot.
I expect that he will do his best.
Yeah.
But after you've been injured and you're going back into the fire, the question is always, how willing are you to stay with the ball in your hand for that extra half second to get you the time for your receiver to get open?
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll do his best.
He'll do his best, but that's in the end what killed Kurt Warner, which amazed me. He did it again with Arizona. That was what I was thinking. That's why the key to the greatest show on turf is that Kurt Warner didn't mind getting hit.
And to what extent are they going to try to protect Andrew Luck? Like, I know they don't have the means to do it.
Yeah.
But if I am the ownership of Indianapolis, I'm saying, for God's sakes, coaching staff, do not put our number one asset, and maybe our only real star asset, in the line of fire.
Yeah.
Like, get him to get rid of the ball quickly, you know, try to run, do anything.
I don't even know the running. I've done my NFL fantasy draft already. I have no idea. I have no idea who's the running back with the call. No, Gore's gone. Gore's in Miami. Who's the running back in Indianapolis? I have no idea. I literally have no idea.
James Wilder Jr.
Sure. Can you name the quarterback of the Argonauts?
Yeah, it's Marcus Thigpen O'Brady.
Shame on you, Argo fan. Shame on you. It's McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Whatever.
My nickname for him, Scrabble. A lot of letters.
It is a lot of letters.
But I see what you're saying about it. And by the way, the worst thing in the world, if Andrew Luck becomes a West Coast passer, I'm not going to stop throwing
out. What if he turns in Alex Smith? Although the stats say that Alex Smith actually does go downfield.
He does. He does. We're unfair to him. We're
right. So let's call it the imaginary perception of Alex Smith. Yeah. You're right. Like if he becomes Captain Checkdown, which he won't.
Hopefully
but then
not.
But then he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
There's always one breakout rookie every year who puts up 4,000 yards and everyone gets excited. Yep. You know, Marcus Mariota or you know, Jameis Winston or whoever it is. Somebody comes out of the gate real hot. And puts up a real good year, and it feels like that could be Sam Darnold this year.
It absolutely could be Sam Darnold.
Could be Patrick Mahomes. I thought about him being the
Mahomes is the darling, though. Everyone loves Mahomes because the Andy Reid quarterbacks always do well in the regular season with Andy Reid.
I was going to go with Patrick Mahomes for my super hot take, but I thought it needed to be hotter.
Need a little bit spicier.
Needed to be hotter.
I'm rooting for Josh Rosen in Arizona, who's no one's talking about, but he was the guy who came out and like ripped the NCAA while he was in the NCAA. Like that boy's got a mouth on him.
I love him.
Yeah.
I loved him as a freshman with UCLA. I tend to follow UCLA sports. I'm weird that way. I just sort of latch on to organizations.
Yeah.
For like because I liked John Wooden.
Yeah.
And I like that Kareem went there.
Yeah.
You know, just like stupid reasons.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it's
fair.
It's got nothing to do with anything. That was the 60s, but I like it.
How wet are you going to get on your...
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
We're kind of sad about that. I felt like we were having a good time today.
We were. We always have a good time.
Yeah, we do.
We're 56 minutes in. You know, I got to edit the intro and the extra. So, you know, takes a little bit. But how wet are you going to get?
Well, it's coming down right now. So I'd say with my $3 umbrella, pretty wet.
Don't stab yourself.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Yeah. All right. Well, stay warm and stay safe.
And I'm not here next week.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm off on vacation.
All right.
So maybe you can get Jonas or somebody to sit in.
All right. Yeah. We can,
You'll figure it out. Festchuck's always good.
Festchuck, someone from The Athletic. We'll figure it out. All right, Bob. So you'll be back in 2 weeks.
All right, buddy boy.
All right. I'm going to miss it. You take care.
You too, pal.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.